Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana wa murshidana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders. We were going through this chapter, we were discussing the ahadith in regards to honoring ulama, honoring the elderly, honoring those who have special traits and attributes which deserve recognition, which deserve honor. To is bab ke andar hum un ahadees ka bayan ko bayan kar rahe the jinke andar baron ki izzat, ulama ki izzat aur isi tarah zi sharaf sharaf walon ki izzat karne ke mutabiq ke mutalliq Rasoolullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne kuch irshad farmaya hai. So the next hadith, we'll just continue, is a very famous hadith. It's narrated عن عمر بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس منا من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف شرف كبيرنا. حديث صحيح رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال الترمذي حديث حسن صحيح. So this hadith, this is a very famous rawi and narrator of hadith. And if you go through the books of hadith, especially the books which have the riwayat of hadith, the narration of hadith, then you see this a lot. Amr ibn Shu'ayb an abihi an jaddihi. Amr ibn Shu'ayb an abihi an jaddihi. Whether you're reading Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, whether it's Sunan Abi Dawood, whether it's Sunan Nasa'i, you see this narrator come many times. So who is this narrator? It's quite interesting. Sayyiduna Amr bin Shu'ayb. So the hadith is narrated by Amr, the son of Shu'ayb, who narrates from his dad. So Amr, the son of Shu'ayb, he narrates from his dad. So his dad is Shu'ayb. An jaddihi, and Shu'ayb narrates from his granddad. So Amr, he's narrating from his dad Shu'ayb, and Shu'ayb is narrating from his granddad. So it means that the great granddad of Amr was a Sahabi. So Amr, he narrates the hadith from Shu'ayb. Shu'ayb narrates from his granddad. So who's the father of Shu'ayb? The father of Shu'ayb was a man called Muhammad. And who was the father of Muhammad? The father of Muhammad, who was a Sahabi, he was a Sahabi called Abdullah bin Amr bin As, radiallahu anhu. So the narration is Amr, the son of Shu'ayb, the son of Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Amr bin As. So this Amr, his father is Shu'ayb, his grandfather is Muhammad, his great-grandfather is Abdullah bin Amr bin As. So his great-grandfather is a Sahabi. And his great-great-grandfather is Amr bin As, who is also a Sahabi. So he narrates hadith many times. Most of the hadith he narrates is from his father, who heard it from his grandfather, meaning his father was a tabi'i. And his father heard it from his own grandfather, who was Abdullah bin Amr bin As, a famous sahabi. So you see this narration a lot. But many, even students of hadith, don't know that what's going on here. We'll read it, Amr bin Shu'ayb, an abihi, and jaddihi. But we won't know that the jaddihi, the great grandfather of Amr, was Abdullah bin Amr bin As, radiallahu ta'ala, anhuma. So like I said, it's very famous. You'll see, especially if you go through books of hadith, you'll see these words a lot. He narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pehle urdu mein pad leta hun. Sayyidina Amr bin Shu'ayb radiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Amr bin Shu'ayb apne walid sahab se riwayat karte hain, wo apne dada se radiyallahu anhu. Aur unke dada ka naam Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiyallahu anhu tha. وہ ارشاد فرماتے ہیں کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا ليس منا من لم يرحم صغيرنا, ہم میں سے نہیں ہے وہ شخص جو اپنے چھوٹوں پر رحم نہیں کرتا. ويعرف شرف كبيرنا, اور اپنے بڑوں کی عزت اور اپنے بڑوں کی احترام نہیں پہچانتا, نہیں جانتا. So سیدنا عمر بن شعیب, he narrates from his father and he from his grandfather that رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم narrated, has stated that he is not from amongst us, meaning that person is not from amongst us, who does not have mercy upon our young ones. وَيَعْرِفْ شَرَفَ كَبِيرِنَا, and does not acknowledge the honor which is due to our elderly. And in another narration, وَقَالَ التِّرْمِذِيُّ Imam al-Tirmidhi, وَفِي رِوَايَةِ أَبِي دَاوُدَ حَقَّ كَبِيرِنَا. Imam Abu Dawood has an addition. Instead of وَيَعْرِفْ شَرَفَ كَبِيرِنَا, it's حَقَّ كَبِيرِنَا. So لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ حَقَّ كَبِيرِنَا, meaning he is not from amongst us who does not have mercy upon our young ones and does not fulfill the rights or does not acknowledge the rights of our elderly. So this hadith is very, very important, because in this hadith both aspects of Islamic akhlaq have been mentioned. Everything, all of akhlaq can be summarized into this hadith. Because every single person that we will meet will either be older than us in age or younger than us in age. Or maybe the same age, possibly. But most people we meet will be either older than us or younger than us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, he is not from amongst us. What does that mean? The ulama explained that it means that he does not have the qualities of a Muslim. That person does not have our qualities. Our qualities meaning the quality of a Muslim. Nowadays we have many people, most of us, all of us, we call ourselves Muslims, but we lack in the qualities of Islam. Unfortunately, to the extent that even the religious, those who are called the religious, those who come to the masjid, perform their 5 times salah, but they lack so much in this aspect, in this regard, dealings with other people, dealings with our elderly, dealings with our youngsters, the basic character, patience, forgiveness, kindness, softness, you know, compassion, all of these qualities which are the inheritance of a Muslim from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Wa kana bil mu'minina rahima. Allah Ta'ala mentions about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke wo musalmanon ke sath bara shafqat wale the. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very soft towards the believers, very, very soft. Allah Ta'ala calls him Ra'uf, Allah Ta'ala calls him Rahim. These are two names of Allah, Ra'uf and Rahim. Ra'uf means the soft one, Rahim means the merciful one. Allah Ta'ala is Ra'uf, Allah Ta'ala is Rahim. But there are some qualities of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala which even humans can bring into their lives. This being Ra'uf, being Rahim, even a father can be Rahim, Abun Rahimun. Like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim, it's not an Arabic name. It's an Aramaic name, meaning a Hebrew origins, you know, Aramaic origins. But they say the origins of Ibrahim is Abun Rahimun, a merciful father. Meaning a father can be merciful, father can be affectionate. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's quality was this. Sometimes we misunderstand. It's very easy to be soft towards those who are younger, those who are on our same wavelength, those who understand us. We can be kind towards them because he understands me. It's easy to talk to them. And then you have some people who are older than me in age, maybe very elderly. They have certain misconceptions, certain ideas, and it's very difficult to talk to these people. Sometimes I get angry and I say, I don't want to talk to him. I'll talk to him. I don't want to talk to him. However, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not sent to the children. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commissioned as a prophet at the age of 40, and he was sent. Majority of his sahaba were older than him, in their 50s, in their 60s, in their 70s, old men. You can imagine, the Arabs were already very, very stubborn people. When they understood something, they've understood it more worse than our Indians, Pakistanis and Bangladeshis. That when we understand something, you know, we think they were much worse. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to change their mindset, change their mizaj, change their outlook, their approach, take out all of those old beliefs and all of those old kind of things that they held on to religiously, and transform them into the Islamic values. It was such a difficult job. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not show any amount of sternness, harshness. It was all just softness. Meaning this is the quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course there were so many people who misunderstood him. So many ahadith. You know, in the books of ahadith, there are so many ahadith in which we see A'rab, someone from a Bedouin person from the deserts, coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, addressing him very harshly, asking him a question without any etiquette, without any adab, without any respect. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, I'm not going to answer your question until you ask the question properly. You better phrase your question properly, then I'll think about answering you. You got no adab? You got no manners? I mean, sometimes it's good to teach people manners, especially a person who's supposed to know their manners. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's quality was not this. He would answer the question. Even the famous hadith, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Bughudda, great Syrian scholar, he's written a book called Ar-Rasulul Muallim Asalibu fi Ta'lim. It's in English, beautiful book. The prophet who was an educator, and his beautiful methods in educating people. When he taught, everyone's an educator. We're educating our children. We educate maybe our wife at home. We educate the people around us. We're always trying to tell people to be better, tell people what's good for them, what's bad for them. We always help, you know, telling people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also a muallim. But how did he teach people? And he mentions beautiful ahadith in there. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to discipline people. And one of the beautiful ahadith he mentions is the hadith of the man who came into the masjid and he urinated in the corner. And he brings this as one of the first hadith saying, look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character. The man is coming into the masjid. Imagine, you know, we can't even imagine this. Standing in the corner and just urinating. The Sahaba, when, you know, they wanted to grip him and then stop him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, wait. Don't say anything. Shh. He didn't even let them speak so that the Bedouin is not disturbed. Someone started to make a bit of a racket. He calmed them down. He said, don't say anything. Let him finish. He finished. And then after he finished, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, called him. And then he said, these masajid were not built for this. They were built for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all. That's all he said. And then he said, told someone, bring a bucket of water and pour the water over the urine till the urine is washed out of the masjid. The man became so emotional, he said, Oh Allah, forgive me and Muhammad and nobody else. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, forgive me and Muhammad. Meaning, he's the only good person I know. These people, I don't like them. Look how harsh they were, how strict they were. Meaning, the effect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's softness was such, he won people's hearts over straight away. So this is the turath, this is the legacy, this is the inheritance of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this softness, this kindness, this gentleness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in many hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves softness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves rifq, softness. And that whenever Allah subhanahu, whenever a person has rifq and softness in some, inside of something, that thing becomes beautified. Illa zanahu, except that that thing becomes beautified. And whenever softness is taken out of something and there's harshness and sternness, illa shanahu, that thing becomes tarnished and damaged. So this is our turath and legacy. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying here, he is not from amongst us. He is not a Muslim who does not show mercy to his young ones. And does not acknowledge the status of the elderly. Meaning, you don't have to always agree with what the elderly are saying, but you need to understand that anyone who's older than me in age has their particular status and their position, and they need to be respected for that. Their rights need to be fulfilled. I can't speak to them the same way I'd speak to someone younger than me. I can't behave with them the same way I would behave with someone younger than me. And that's why in the previous few hadith we mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three brothers came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the youngest one, he was the most articulate. And it happens a lot, isn't it? You have the elderly brother who's more kind of calm, quiet. And then you have the middle brother who just, you know, he's the middle brother. The middle child is always a forgotten child. And then you have the youngest child, and they're always very chatty and very talkative. So this youngest brother started saying, ya Rasulullah, this is what's happened, that's what happened. They came with a family problem. A family problem happened. Someone had murdered one of their relatives, and they brought the case to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the youngest brother straight away, you know, in his josh and enthusiasm, started to speak. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stop. And then he said, kabbir. Let the elder brother speak. Let the elder one speak. Taught him that always give preference to your elderly. Give preference to your elderly. Sometimes you may feel you think you know what is right, but let the elderly talk. It's their wisdom that's most important. Even the hadith when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping and he saw a dream, two people came and he presented a miswak to one of two people, and then a voice said to him, and the ulama say, meaning Jibreel alayhi wasallam, said to him, give it to the elderly one. Meaning even me as a person, when two people come in front of me, three people come in front of me, or I'm speaking to a group of people, I should give more importance to what the eldest person has to say. So this is very important. So the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, he is not from amongst us who does not show mercy to our young ones and does not acknowledge the status of the elderly. Remember Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was older than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in age. However, what would he say? Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu would say about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, huwa akbaru minni. He is older than me, lakin wulidtu qablahu. However, I was born before him. Meaning, he's older than him in age, but he's saying he's older than me, meaning he has more knowledge, more wisdom, everything than me. However, I was born before him. Look at such a beautiful way to say it. Not that I'm older than him, yes. You know, sometimes by saying this, a person may automatically assume, if I said, I'm older than this person, someone may assume, well, maybe you're more wiser than the person, more knowledgeable, more experienced. He would phrase it so beautifully. He's older than me. However, I was born before him. It's a bit confusing, but he's trying to convey the fact, at the same time maintain the special position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll do one more hadith inshaAllah. وَعَنْ مَيْمُونِ بْنِ أَبِي شَبِيبٍ رحمة الله عليه أن عائشة رضي الله عنها مر بها سائل فأعطته كسرة ومر بها رجل عليه ثياب وهيئة فأقعدته فأكل فقيل لها في ذلك فقالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنزل الناس منازلهم راه أبو داود. You know this heat, having cold water and cold drinks, it's a very bad idea. I've been having all of this and my throat is damaged now. Can't even speak. استغفر الله. Sayyidina Maymun bin Abi Shabib rahimahullah, he narrates that Sayyidatuna Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, a sa'il passed by her. Sa'il, someone who is asking for something. We can say a beggar, loosely a beggar. Someone who is asking for something. Passed by her. فَأَعْطَتْهُ كِسْرَةً. So she gave him, the beggar. Chalo, let me say it in Urdu first. Ye hadith, iski rawi hai Sayyidina Maymun bin Abi Shabib. Wo ek tabi'i te, farmate hai ke سيدتنا أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها ان کے پاس سے ایک مطلب کیا کہتے ہیں سائل گزرا مطلب کوئی چیز مانگ رہا تھا تو سيدتنا عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها نے ان کو ایک روٹی کا ایک ٹکڑا عطا کیا وَمَرَّ بِهَا رَجُلٌ عَلَيْهِ ثِيَابٌ وَهَيْئَةٌ اور پھر اس کے بعد ایک دوسرا آدمی سیدتنا عائشہ رضی اللہ عنہ کے پاس سے گزرا اور ان پر ایک خوبصورت سا قمیص تھا اور اسی طرح لگ رہا تھا یہ کوئی مطلب شریف آدمی ہے شریف آدمی باوقار آدمی تو سیدنا عائشہ رضی اللہ عنہ نے ان کو بٹھایا اور کھلایا تو یہ دیکھئے دونوں کے ساتھ الگ الگ مطلب سلوک جی فقیل لها في ذلك تو سیدنا عائشہ رضی اللہ عنہ کو ان کے اس کے بارے میں پوچھا گیا کہ یہ پہلا آدمی جب آیا تھا ان کو آپ نے روٹی کا ایک ٹکڑا دے کر الوداع کہہ دیا فارغ کر دیا اور دوسرے آدمی جب آیا اور اس کے اوپر خوبصورت لباس پہنا ہوا تھا اور اسی طرح لگ رہا تھا یہ کوئی شریف باعزت آدمی ہے آپ نے ان کو ایک جگہ بٹھایا اور پھر کھلایا یہ کیوں الگ الگ سلوک دونوں کے ساتھ الگ الگ برتاؤ فقالت سیدتنا عائشہ رضی اللہ عنہ نے جواب دیا قال رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا انزل الناس منازلہم لوگوں کو اپنے اپنے مرتبے کے مطابق ان کے ساتھ ہاں برتاؤ کرو سلوک کرو ان کے ساتھ مطلب ڈیل کرو جی I have to come back to English sorry جی جو لوگوں کو اپنا اپنا ہر ایک کا اپنا اپنا مرتبہ ہوتا ہے اپنا اپنا ایک سٹیٹس ہوتا ہے So this hadith is very important. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, she is at home and a beggar, you can say, passes by and he asks for something. So she gives him a piece of bread and then he goes. You know, like we see, especially if we go back home to our countries, we have many people coming always, you know, asking for something. So we give them something, whatever we have. And then another person passed by her. And the hadith mentions that this person, alayhi thiyabun, he had clothes on him. Doesn't mean that the first person didn't have clothes. It means that he had a beautiful garment. His clothes stood out. That, you know, from a person's clothing, many times you can tell that this person is a man of affluence, has wealth, or is a person of a special status in society. So he had that kind of clothes. Wahayatun. And even the way he was, you could tell that he was someone special. Faqa'adathu, she made him sit down. فَأَكَلَ And then he ate. Meaning the dealings are so different. The first person is given a piece of bread and sent on his way. The second person is sat down like a special guest and fed. So فَقِيلَ لَهَا فِي ذَلِكَ The tabi'een, the companions of Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, they asked her about this. Now what's this? Why are the different dealings with both of these two individuals? فَقَالَتْ So she responded that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ Treat people according to their statuses. Deal with people according to their level and according to their status. And Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi has an additional wording. He mentions that Aisha radiallahu anha stated, أَمَرَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَن نُنزِلَ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ has commanded us to treat people according to their status, according to their level, according to their rank. So this is a very important hadith. A person may take the wrong assumption from this hadith, or if this kind of incident happened in front of us, that you see a poor person, you have a different kind of dealing, then you see a rich person and you deal with them differently, people will say, look at this person. You know, he's doing it with the rich person just to get close to them, and behaving like this with the poor person because he doesn't really like the poor person, wants to distance himself from the poor person. And he wants the rich person to be his best friend. That's why he's treating him differently. But remember, this suluk, this behavior of treating people according to their status, this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ كَرِيمُ قَوْمٍ فَأَكْرِمُوا. Whenever a respectable person from a tribe, from a village comes to meet you, then respect him. Why? Because everybody is used to a certain something. Everybody is used to something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some people a lot of wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some people less wealth. Allah ta'ala gave some people knowledge. Allah ta'ala gave some people not so much knowledge. Allah ta'ala made someone a hafiz of Quran. Allah ta'ala did not make someone else a hafiz of Quran. This is Allah ta'ala's taqseem. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's distribution. Now after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this distribution, a person becomes accustomed and used to a certain lifestyle. Now if a rich person, what's he used to eating? Biryani, pulao, chicken, tandoori, all of these nice foods, mashallah. Now he comes to my house and I say, I'm very sorry, I don't know what to feed you. Okay, I've got some cereal. Bowl of cereal with some milk, there you go. He'll get offended. He'll get offended. He won't think I'm doing ikram of him. He'll think I'm doing tadlil of him. I'm disgracing him. What is this? You know, because he is used to eating a particular type of food, and it doesn't matter whether the person is pious or not pious. This is what they are used to. So when you deal with them in a manner that they are used to being dealt with. Now this poor person who was a beggar, this is what he's used to. He was not offended. He will not be offended if someone gives him a piece of bread. He'll be happy. He'll say Jazakallah. He'll actually in his heart feel happiness towards that person, that this person has helped me in a time of need. Someone comes to me and I give them 50 pence, someone who nobody is helping or needs anything, and I give them 50 pence, £1, they'll appreciate it. I needed this. I can go now, I can buy myself something to eat. Well, I have an honorable guest who comes to my house and I give them that 50 pence, there you go, this is your mehman nawazi. They'll get offended. What is this, being a cheapskate? Because we're used to a certain kind of lifestyle, and this is something Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam educated. We see many times, you know, the leaders, the chiefs of the tribes around surrounding Makkahul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara would come to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He'd give them preferential treatment. Sayyidina Tufayl, and many times because of this special treatment, these people's hearts would become warm towards Islam, and they would embrace Islam. Sayyidina Tufayl radiallahu anhu, I think Marana, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Sayyidina Tufayl radiallahu anhu, or Amir bin Tufayl radiallahu anhu, one of the leading chiefs of one of the great tribes of Arabia, he became a Muslim. And one of the reasons, and he became a Muslim, and what actually happened was, initially he came as a captive to Medina. And he was tied onto one of the pillars inside of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tied him because he was a captive, but he said, treat him very kindly and generously. And, you know, food would be brought to him, good food. Many times, food would be brought to him that the Sahaba would not even eat in their own homes. Meaning they would go out of their way to make special food to present to him. So he saw, you know, this very beautiful treatment that was given to him. And then he was watching this and his heart was becoming more and more soft. It's becoming more and more soft. And he said later on that I had made a qasam, an oath, I would not be embracing Islam, there's no chance. But then when I saw this treatment that the Sahaba were doing under the command and instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this beautiful treatment towards me, my heart started to become soft. And what was the final, the final straw or the final reason because of which he became a Muslim? He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited me to a gathering one day. And he invited me, and then he took a special pillow that he would use to sit on, and he gave it to me, and he said, you sit on this. And he said, my heart melted. And he said, oh Muhammad, before I take this, I want to say one thing to you. And he took the kalima of shahada and he became a Muslim. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this, give preferential treatment. And many times he would stand up to honor a person who was the chief or a leader of a tribe. So this is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as there is ikhlas in doing so. As long as there is ikhlas in doing so, we're not doing it just to be best friends with the people of status, councillor, chairman sahab, councillor sahab, MP sahab, G, we're going to give you that special treatment, and other people we're not going to. And the reason is because, we want to get close to them, and we don't want to show that we have any connections with poor people, weak people. And we want to show that we have connections with people of status. This is the wrong intention. And for this intention, a person would be sinful. But as long as the intention is to follow the sunnah, then this is absolutely fine. And especially ulama, SubhanAllah, if we see about how the pious people of the past or the ulama of the past would show respect to other ulama, it surprises. You know, even if you look in the Khanqahs of India, when you had Sheikh Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi, Sheikh Muinuddin Chishti, and all these great saints of India, and then even later down to our recent times in India as well, you see that the saints would eat very simple food. Sometimes they wouldn't even have food to eat. However, when it came to being hospitable towards others, there would be so much, they would go out of their way. Some people did not even like going to certain scholars. Some scholars did not like visiting other scholars because they knew that if I go there, that scholar is going to go out of his way to provide so much food and spend so much money that I just feel like this is too much. Some scholars were like this. Recent times, Sheikh Yusuf Mutala Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, from who passed away. My own ustad, Mufti Abdul Samad Sahib, hafizullah, he mentions that he said to us in class, he goes, I go very rarely to visit him. I don't go to visit him much. He said, because I love to see my ustad, I love him. He said, but I don't like when I go to him because he goes out of his way to do so much khidmat to me. I feel like I'm his ustad, he's not my ustad. This is just a special love and a special... So he would say, even if I go in a way where I try and sit at the back where he doesn't notice me, because it never works. He'll see me and he'll say, Mufti Abdul Samad, you come here. And he'll sit me next to him, he'll hold my hand, and then he'll say, what do you want to eat today? And even if I've not even said anything, I'll say, Hazrat, I didn't even come inform you before coming, so you're not required to make any special food arrangement. He'll say, no, there's no rules for you. You've come here, what do you want to eat? Your khala is going to make it, prepare it. And then he'll take him to his house and prepare. So that's why he used to go very rarely, and he would say, this is the reason why I go rarely. Not because I don't love my sheikh, I love him. He said, well, I know when I go, he goes out of his way. He goes through so much takleef because of me. So this is a sign of love as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq and the ability to practice upon these few ahadith. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.